Friends, now we will see the operational control as a branch manager, what he has to exercise when he is in the branch in charge and also in charge of the operations which are undertaken at the branch level. There are many aspects in the operation control, more particularly it may be liability product, it may be retail product, it may be deposit product, or it may be loan product. The processing of the transaction, which normally happens at the branch, it should be correctly accounted. And it should go to the right person's account, or it should be right person's account should have been debited, as the case may be. There are various regulations in respect of identification of the customer also. When you are first time onboarding any client or customer, there are certain rules that needs to be followed. There are certain documents which are required to be obtained before, at the time of opening the account. KYC measures, AML measures are forming a very important part of the operations. And these measures should be controlled in the manner in which it was prescribed under various acts of the regulators. It may be guidelines issued by Reserve Bank of India. It may be guidelines issued by the central government. It may be by Act of Parliament, certain things are required to be done at the branch level. All these things need to be put in place, and that is all relevant provisions, practices, guidelines, and even acts putting together, we will apply this to the operations and how best we can put the customer's transaction comfortably, giving relief to the customer or giving justification to the transaction, that we will discuss now. So let us start discussing with the operations control measures which are in place, which is expected to be known by the branch manager. So the objective of this particular discussion consists of understanding the importance and implications of the controls in the branch operations, familiar with the various aspects of the control at the branch. Third one is to acquaint with the concept and practices of anti-money laundering in the banks. And last one is KYC, that is, know your customer at the branch, even at the time of onboarding the client, and after onboarding also review what are the review measures we have to take, that we will discuss now. Before we start our discussion, let us understand the importance of control in the banks, importance of operations, control operations in the branch. Everybody is aware that bank is dealing with the customer's money, and they are answerable to the regulators also at the same time, as well as depositors, those who are having the money deposited with you, and what they do with that money. People always trust the bank with their money, and the banks have the responsibility to see that the people's money are safe for all the time. Similarly, the bank relies on its staff, working staff, staff at the counter, to take care of the customer's money, and staff should not behave in the manner in which belies the trust of the customer who is parting their hard-earned money savings into their account. Because of the poor control, if the bank loses the money, the reputation of the bank as well as the employee is also at stake, such as frauds, forgeries, may lead to the financial losses along with the reputation losses of the bank or the employees. Any banking transaction which is processed at the branch has to comply with three control objectives the branch has to comply with. Which are three objectives? One is authenticity of the transaction. Second one is accuracy in the transaction. And third one is a completeness of the transaction. So authenticity, accuracy and completeness are the three backbone of any operations in the bank. Let us discuss more about the authenticity. What is authenticity? The transactions processed at the branch should be a genuine customer instruction and supported by the signature verification. Second one, the transaction as per the banking rules and anti-money laundering, know your customer guidelines. And third one is, according to the instruction of the customer, that transaction is carried out. So these three principles, if you adopt, then authenticity can be established. This is ensured by taking into how it will be ensured. Authenticity, to ensure, there must be certain documents, is it not? So the authenticity will be ensured by taking the original instrument and not a duplicate or copy, verifying the signature of the customer, and overall general vigilance is required to be observed by the bank staff. So the authenticity consists of genuineness of customer instruction, transaction which is undertaken is as per the KYC policy, and fourth one is acting as per the instruction given by the customer. If customer says transfer the money from this account to that account, you have to transfer only from this account to only to that account, not to any other account. So all these instructions must be supported by the original documents. You cannot act on the copy. Now the question comes about the accuracy. Authenticity you have already established. Now accuracy in the transaction. This is purely a man-made instruction. Or person has to carry very minutely and correctly. The transactions which are processed at the branch should be accurate and correct. This is ensured by input in the computer system in correct customer's account, amount of transaction and other details processor staff. Second one, input has to be checked by the processor with the instrument, vouchers for the details. Input is checked by the supervisor again in system and in physical instrument both. Vouchers, if at all it is required, to accurate the details. The third level checking of the high value transaction. This is all right. One is amount, customer's name and the processing of the transaction by concerned staff. Who has given a delegation or authority to process the transaction. Simultaneously, same will be again authenticated by way of the original document submitted as well as in the computer system, whatever may be the CBS you are using. So it is actually three level checking is happening in case of transaction, and it must happen. The third level of checking for the high value transaction is also recommended. High value means beyond certain prescribed limit. That is as per the concerned bank's policy. It may be 1 crore, it may be 10 lakhs, whatever it may be, or it may be different for the transaction to transaction. Amount of high level definition will be different. Reconciliation of a nostro, suspense account in the next few days, and overall general vigilance, that also needs to be observed simultaneously at this point. This is to confirm the accuracy of the transaction, that is correctly transaction is happened. So, and next one is completeness of the transaction. Completeness is all customer transaction in the branch received for the processing are done on the same day as requested by the customer and instructions are carried out correctly. If this is done, then transaction is completed. In addition, input in correct account for the debit and the credit are done and the computer system should show the transaction completed message in the system. That also defines the completeness of the transaction. It is ensured by the right control over the number of transactions received and processed, proper log and tracking is made, checking of inputs by all the automated transactions uploaded and ensuring all the transactions uploaded are processed correctly with review of exception reports which is generated at the end of the transaction at the end of the day. With this, the transaction is normally undertaken at the branches. While doing so, what are the control is required to be exercised or taken into consideration while undertaking the transactions? Maker and checker concept is introduced almost all the banks. Maker who inputs the transaction, checker who checks and authorizes the transaction. When there is a maker and checker, it is called as 4I principle. So, 4I principle is adopted by all the banks and it must be in place. One person should not act as maker and also act as a checker. There should be another person who can be authorizer or maker. But there should be, in any case, two people, means 4I principle should be applied for any banking transaction. All financial transactions and non-financial activities done by the inputter, that is maker, of that is concerned staff, is checked and authorized by the officer who is a next level officer or who is next level employee of the bank. Recording the name, time, date and input and the authorization is done in the computer system is achieved in two ways. One is online control, second one is manual control. What is online control means? Online control means the transaction input by one person is authorized by another person in the system. And the manual control means the transaction input and completed by one person in the system is checked and verified in the daily journal report is prepared at the end of operation is called as a manual control. So these two controls are also more important in respect of the control of the branch operations. Little bit more details about the online control. The transactions and activities which are done online are always authorized online. It cannot be authorized manually. There are various transaction limits specified in the computer system according to the user level as approved by the bank. Automatic message in the computer screen tab about the requirement of authorization. At that moment, without it is authorized, the maker cannot proceed further. So it needs to be authorization at that stage. Status of the transaction, whether on hold for authorization or already authorized, is reflected. All transactions entered in the computer system requiring authorizations or authorization are authorized as soon as possible to give the effect to the customer's account. Unauthorized transactions are not left out in the computer system before you close the system or before end of the day. Transactions are authorized daily before end of the day. Each transaction, wherever required, is supported by the voucher or the instrument and is stamped properly by the branch stamp by the concerned maker. Customer signature is verified on all the vouchers, and signature verified stamp is required to be affixed on all the customer initiated transactions. If any post dated or still dated check is presented or posted by mistake by the maker, the drawer of the check is contacted to rectify the irregularities. That was all about the online control. Now we are entering into we are understanding more about the manual control. Manual control transaction related to the control includes large cash withdrawal or account opening. These are the manual transactions. In respect of the customer instructions, customers may issue 1. Stop payment of the check in case if you wish. Then standing orders or standing instructions to send the money every month to somebody or debit his account and transfer to some other account, that is on regular basis, where he has given one time instruction which is called as standing instruction. And third one is remittance and payments. Standard control guidelines for all these things is reconciliation of accounts and staff administration. These are the activities which are involved in the manual control. Most important part of this particular discussion of this topic is anti-money laundering regulations. Anti-money laundering regulations. Money laundering is very much on higher side in case of our country. Converting black money into white, all the possible ways the people are trying to way out, finding the way out. That is the reason why the act, which is called as Prevention of Money Laundering Act, which was passed by the parliament in 2002, which is popularly known as PMLA Act. In PMLA Act, money laundering is defined as whosoever directly or indirectly attempt to indulge or knowingly assist or knowingly is a party or is actually involved in any process or activity connected with the proceeds of the crime, I said proceeds of the crime, and projecting it untainted property shall be guilty of offense of money laundering. So in any case of this, anything happens, it's counted under money laundering. Proceeds of the crime means any property derived or obtained directly or indirectly by any person as a result of criminal activity relating to scheduled offense or value of such a property is called as proceeds of the crime. Any proceeds of the crime is considered as money laundering as per the Money Laundering Act. Money laundering is the process by which the criminals are attempting to hide and disguise the true origin and ownership of the proceeds of their criminal activities, thereby avoiding the prosecution, conviction, and confiscation of the criminal funds. So this is a process where criminal tries to avoid the prosecution, conviction, and confiscation. These three activities he wanted to avoid. That is why he is adopting the route of money laundering. Money Laundering Act, which was passed in the Parliament in 2002, came into existence in the year 2010, which is called as Prevention of Money Laundering Amendment Act. What it consists of, we are taken into consideration only the major aspects which are very important for our discussion for this particular topic. It consists of, under Money Laundering 2010 Amendment, is Terrorist Financing. Terrorist financing, as the name indicates, that finance or any help given to the terrorist is considered under Money Laundering Act. The two major differences between the terrorist financing and the money laundering are, one is the terrorist funding can happen from legitimately obtained income, whereas the source of money in money laundering is always from illegal source. Source of money is from illegal source. And income for terrorist finance is source of money. Terrorist activity requires small amount, and hence it is increasingly difficult to identify the terrorist funding transactions. What they are doing, small amount on different days, they are collecting. So normally attention is not diverted to such kind of small amount remittances. But collectively, if you look, it will be a very large amount. They are adopting these tactics to finance the terrorist activities, terrorism. Naturally, the source, when small amount is deposited, normally nobody is questioning. It may be obtained from the illegal activities. If any large amount is deposited or large amount is transacted, it will definitely comes into the eyes of the bank. So, to avoid that kind of thing, they are depositing small amount from different accounts. And they are ultimately going to financing to the terrorist. Other financial crime includes, other financial crime means it is a fraud. And the market abuse, that is insider trading in the stock market, are closely related to the money laundering. So fraud and internal trading is also considered as money laundering activities. So terrorist financing, fraud and market abuse, that is insider trading, are most often the measures described for the money laundering, falling under most money laundering act, and it should be viewed from that point of view. Prevention of money laundering and terrorist financing may help the financial institution in preventing the fraud and other financial crime as well. So illegal money is converted into the white money, that is depositing into the account and then utilizing for the different purposes, which is strictly prohibited under Prevention of Money Laundering Act, that is PMLA Act 2010 Amendment.